Today, I'll have my deluxe resort ranking. That's coming up on this episode 203 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 203. This is the rare Shannon sits down and records a topic, a type of episode. It seems like they're all either their trip reports, either mine or somebody else's, but I'm doing this one, which has been requested for so long. So I can't wait to get into it and walk through all of the deluxe resorts at Disney World. Before I do that, a reminder to follow on social media. I am most active on Instagram and Facebook and try to share lots of tips and information and silly stuff. And you can always DM me on Instagram and ask me questions, or if you're not on Instagram, you can email Shannon at WDWPrepSchool.com. But anyway, whatever platform you're on, look up WDW Prep School, as you have probably heard me say a million times. But it truly is the best way to connect outside the podcast, because I feel like I'm on a stage here and just with a megaphone and everyone's listening to me. In fact, it's super strange running into people in the parks, because people will, you know, approach to say hi, listeners usually, and they act like they know me, which I understand because I listen to hours of podcasts every day and I feel like I know the people that I'm listening to. But the truth is that I can't hear you and I don't know you. So social media helps us to get around that a little bit. As always, I will have a quick tip of the day at the end, but right now we're going to get into the deluxe resort ranking. I do have some caveats and intro type things to tell you before I do that, just so you can understand where I'm coming from here. First of all, I want to remind you the criteria that I have for staying at the resorts. So for a long time, I have had a checklist of resorts, all the Disney World resorts, and I post the graphic online. I post it on Instagram and Facebook, and I have, there's a blank one if you want to do your own checklist and post it. Just be sure to tag me because I want to see it too. But anyway, I've had this for years. I've had this graphic I designed years ago, and every time I stay at a new resort, I check it off. But my criteria for doing that is something I defined just as a framework. And the criteria is that I have to stay at least two nights. And the reason for that is if you stay one night, you're really at the hotel for less than 24 hours, which to me is not long enough to get a feel for it. I also require myself to eat at the resort, to use the transportation at the resort, and to walk the whole resort to view it, so get a good feel for the whole grounds and not just where my room is located. So that's what I've done at every single Disney World resort. When I was working my way through the checklist, I didn't just go linearly through it and just check things off. It took me a while to get to the end because I stayed at so many multiple times. There's, you know, lots of reasons to stay different places. Just like you, I look for promotions. So, you know, traveling there as often as I do is not cheap. So I have to really mix it up and make sure that I'm taking advantage of good pricing and promotions. And so I ended up staying at Pop Century a lot last year, for instance, because that was just easier to afford more trips there. And Grand Floridian was my last one, and one of the reasons it was the last one was because of the price. And so, you know, eventually I got there, but I ended up staying at a lot of the resorts multiple times. So anyway, I have now checked them all off just in time for two new resorts to open this year. The Grand Destino Tower and the Riviera resorts open later, so I will have to update my checklist to reflect that. But as of right now, it is complete, and now you understand the criteria that I followed. I've already ranked the value in moderate resorts in the past. I'm going to maybe have to update the moderate ones because there have been some changes at the moderate resorts, but I have done that. So the deluxe one is the last one I'm having to do just because it was the last resort for me to check off my list. I also wanted to explain that one of the reasons I find it difficult to do rankings is that, or to say anything negative, frankly, like you know that I try to keep it positive. But one of the reasons that I have a hard time saying things that are negative is that if people already have trips planned and I say something negative about a place that they are staying that they will think their trip is ruined, or you know, it will put a damper on their trip. So I don't want that to happen. I was on a plane one time with a lady who recognized me, and she said that she had just changed her resort the 1 week before her trip based on something I had said. And I don't want that to be the case. It's fine. In fact, the lowest ranked deluxe that I'm about to tell you about, I have a trip booked there this year. So clearly it's not that bad. But I do want you to keep that in mind. If you already have a trip booked somewhere that is not my favorite, it's fine. You're going to be fine. But if you are still in the decision-making phase, I highly recommend that you take a lot of things into consideration: your budget, the personalities of the people in your travel group, opinions from other people that have, you know, experience like me, and just sort of put it all together. And then you can figure out, but don't think that your trip is ruined because someone did not rank your resort at the top of the list. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine. I also wanted to mention that I took a lot of things into consideration when ranking these deluxe resorts. The deluxe resorts are a little bit trickier than the value and moderates because, first of all, there's more of them. There's only four or five in each of the value and moderate categories, whereas there's eight in the deluxe category. And they have a lot more nuance to them. For instance, if you're staying at a value resort, you're going to always take buses to get wherever you are. But that is not the case. Deluxe resorts vary more in that way. So there's a lot of things to think about. So the theming is one thing, the food that's available at the hotel, the transportation, and a lot of it is my own preferences. Some of these are going to be wildly different than you've heard anywhere else because of my own personal preferences, but that's why I want you to take lots of things into consideration when you are making plans for your trip. So, enough of that. Let's get into it. Number 8 on my list of deluxe resorts is the Boardwalk Inn. Now, what's funny about the Boardwalk Inn is that it was the first resort I ever stayed at Disney World. So clearly, it wasn't a bad thing because I've been back a million more times. It was the first one I stayed at on site as an adult because when I was little, we stayed in Kissimmee a couple times. When we get to number 1 on the list, I'll have another comment about that. But as an adult, planning my own trip, Boardwalk Inn was the first place I stayed. And the reason it is the last on my list of deluxe resorts, there's a few reasons. One of them is that I think that the nearby resorts are just a better choice. So if you want to stay in the Boardwalk area, the Epcot area resorts, you will have a better experience, I think, at one that is nearby rather than staying at the Boardwalk. One of the reasons for that is, well, there's a couple reasons for that I think the other ones are more attractive. First, something seemingly silly is that the pool is a creepy clown. Now, I don't have a fear of clowns, but a lot of people do. And the pool is a clown mouth and it scares a lot of people. So you're not going to see this pool being nearly as busy as the other resorts because it does deter a lot of people. So that's one that's a little bit silly, but may be very important to you if you have a fear of clowns. But another reason is that at the Boardwalk, you have to go outside on the Boardwalk to do anything, like to refill your mug, to grab a quick service meal, to grab a table service meal. You have to go down the stairs or down the elevator and out on the Boardwalk to do all of that. And I find that incredibly inconvenient because I really like the idea that I could throw on flip-flops and sweatpants and run with my mug to go get another Diet Coke, or I could go down to grab a quick muffin without having to encounter the public and the sun and the rain and all of that. Now, when I first started the site and I did a list of pros and cons of Disney World resorts, one of the cons I put on the list for Boardwalk was this, that you have to go outside. And somebody posted a link to my article on Reddit 5 or 6 years ago, and they said, how freaking lazy does she have to be to complain about that? And at the time, I was a little bit sensitive to that feedback. I thought, wow, someone really just attacked me. And now here I am, 5 or 6 years later. I don't care. I stand by it. I think if you're paying deluxe prices, or even if you're not, that going to that trouble to get a refillable mug or a snack is just too much. Who wants to go out in the rain and the heat to do that? But anyway, that is one of the issues that I have with the Boardwalk and one of the reasons it is last on my list. Number 7 is the Grand Floridian. It was the last of the deluxes for me to stay at. And one of the reasons, other than price, was that the theming was not super exciting to me. I've been at the Grand Floridian a million times, including eating at the chef's table and the quick service restaurants. And I've been there a million times. But staying there is a different story. I do think it lacks Disney theming and charm. I think that the food is great, but you can always go there and visit and, you know, to eat the food. I think the service is inconsistent. And for the amount that you pay to stay there, it feels like you should be getting more for your money. I can't deny that being one monorail step away from Magic Kingdom is fantastic, and that having food right there is really great. But I just think for the money that it is not worth it. It's not a good bang for your buck. I think if you're in that price range and you want the best service and, you know, that kind of that level of amenities that you might expect for that price range, that you'd be happier at the Four Seasons. And Four Seasons is not a monorail stop away from Magic Kingdom, but it does have views of all four parks, and it's not very far away. And you will get likely better service and rooms and, you know, everything else that comes with it that the Four Seasons brand is known for. So anyway, Grand Floridian is number 7 on my list. Number 6, and maybe one of the biggest surprises, is Wilderness Lodge. Now, I know that this is a very popular resort amongst many people, and it appears at the top of many people's lists. However, for me, it is number 6, and this is in a large part due to personal preference. The smaller, darker rooms are not my thing. I do find the transportation a bit frustrating. The food used to be a con for me, but they have changed that a bit over the last couple of years. Artist Point was one of the only signature service restaurants I didn't like, but that has changed a lot with the Storybook Dining that they just opened up, which is fantastic, as you heard me say recently. But between the frustrating transportation and the darker rooms, I am just not the biggest fan of Wilderness Lodge, but I can't deny that it is a beautiful resort overall. And I really like going there to just walk along the water and to sit down and have a drink and order an appetizer. It's a lovely place to be. It's just not my favorite place to stay. Number 5 on the list is Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now, Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think, is the most gorgeous resort at Disney World. Number 1 in gorgeousness. Is that a word? Gorgeousness. And it's not very expensive for a deluxe in particular. So it's affordable and pretty and has incredible food. So you got a lot going for you there. There's a lot of activities at the resort. You don't even have to leave to have plenty to do, including the view of the animals that are right there. If you get a savanna view, you can see the animals right off of your balcony. So there's a lot going for it. There are a few things that work against it. One of those is transportation, which can be hit or miss. Another recently has been service. The service has been, unfortunately, a rough spot for Animal Kingdom Lodge, but I'm still holding out hope that they will get that under wraps and get it back to where it was. But that is something to be aware of if you stay there. But a lot of things that are going for it, and I really enjoy Animal Kingdom Lodge. Number 4 on the list is the Yacht Club. And it is a little bit difficult to differentiate Yacht Club and Beach Club because they have so many things in common, but it comes down to personal taste for this one because the darker theming is not my style, but for other people, it would be at the top of their list because of the theming. But this is my list, and so it is number 4. Like the Beach Club, it does have the best pool on site that it is shared between the two. There is great food at the Yacht Club. You can walk to two parks, Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And I think every room has a balcony at Yacht Club. I'll have to double check that. If I'm wrong, I'll put that in the show notes. But it's a fantastic resort. So it just comes down to personal taste. And it may be more your thing than the Beach Club, but we'll talk about the Beach Club here in just a second. Number 3 on my list is the Polynesian Village Resort. This has a maybe cult following, you could call it, because so many people are fans of this resort, and it is a gorgeous one. they have access to two monorails. So there's a monorail that goes to Magic Kingdom. There's a monorail that goes to Epcot. And when you stay at the Polynesian, you can have easy access to both. The one that goes to Magic Kingdom, you can board right at your hotel. But the one that goes to Epcot, you can walk over to the Ticket and Transportation Center and board it there to make that a quicker trip to Epcot, which is very convenient to have monorail access to two parks, especially if you have a ECV scooter or wheelchair or a stroller. You know, you don't have to, the logistics of getting on the bus for two of the parks is eliminated if you have access to a monorail. The food at the Polynesian is popular with many people and is certainly a huge perk of staying there. And the ability to view fireworks and the water parade right there on the lake is a big perk of all of the Magic Kingdom area resorts. And so it's lovely and is a favorite for many. And it is number three on my list. Number two is the Beach Club. It used to be number one, and I have changed my opinion in the last couple of years. And we will talk about number one here in just a second. But Beach Club, like the Yacht Club, is so close to Epcot. It's actually just 5 to 10 minutes to go from the Beach Club into the International Gateway of Epcot. And it's roughly 15 minutes to walk to Hollywood Studios. They have the best on-site pool. There's a character breakfast right at the Beach Club, and the dining options, having very easy access to the Yacht Club dining options makes it, you know, you double your dining that is, you know, within very close walking distance. And, it just is a bright and airy place. It smells good to me. It just feels like home. And so I end up inside the Beach Club pretty much every trip, if only to catch a lift to get somewhere else after leaving Epcot. But it just feels like home, and I happen to really love it there. So you may have deduced what number one is, and that is the Contemporary Resort. This one is, again, a resort that I have been in many, many times, but it wasn't until I stayed there that I actually liked it more. Sometimes staying at hotels makes me like them less, but the Contemporary, I liked it more. And that's because it is hard to underestimate the convenience of being able to walk to Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom is such a pain to get to and from, and being able to walk there and you have your own security along the path that goes from the Contemporary to Magic Kingdom is hard to beat. And outside of the walk, you also have buses to anywhere at Disney World, because at your resort, you will have buses to get to the other parks. But if you want to go to another resort, you can just go to the buses that are right at the Magic Kingdom bus station, which is a short walk over at the Magic Kingdom. You kind of have two bus stops at your disposal, and they will take you anywhere at Disney World, which is also very convenient. The food at the Contemporary is incredible. I like everything from the quick service to the character meal to the signature restaurant to the table service restaurant. It's Chef Mickey's, California Grill, The Wave. They're all really, really great to me. I think they're fun. And the monorail going right through the middle of the building is, it never gets old. Even though I have been seeing it for years and I've been on that monorail many times, I think that never gets old. When I was little and we stayed in Kissimmee, we, like everybody who was driving in from offsite, had to take the monorail over to Magic Kingdom and back. And I remember looking down at the Contemporary as I was in the monorail as in March of 1984 and thinking, oh, that's where all the rich people are. And now every time I walk in the Contemporary, I think, how lucky am I to be able to be here? And so the fact that when I stayed there, it lived up to the dreams I had as a third grader who first was sort of dreaming about staying there. I love that it lived up to those expectations. And I think for anybody who is in this price range and who can afford to stay there, that it will really give a lot of Disney magic and Disney theming all under one roof. And it's hard to beat that. I do want to specify that staying in the main tower, I think, is the better experience. The garden view rooms are certainly less expensive, but you miss out on a lot of the perks that you get in the main tower. Even if you don't book a theme park view in the main tower, the Bay Lake views are still gorgeous. The ability to view fireworks right from your hotel and to just have a gorgeous view no matter where you are is just a huge, huge perk. And so I highly recommend the Contemporary Resort. So that is my ranking of the 8 deluxes. I'd be curious to hear what you think. Feel free to DM me on Instagram or email me, shannon@wwprepschool.com, to let me know what you think. That is what I think. So before we wrap it up, let's do a quick tip of the day. My quick tip of the day is that you should know before you go to Disney World, or even while you're at home and trying to use the My Disney Experience app, that it does not work. And you may have encountered that and thought it was your fault. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's user error, but you should know it is likely not. We all experience it. It has gotten worse. It's never been the best, but it has gotten painfully bad recently. And so I want you to have it in your head that the browser on your phone that will act as a backup for some of the functions in the My Disney Experience app. It will not do everything to log in through the browser on your phone. For instance, wait times are not listed there. The interactive map to help you navigate the parks is not listed there. But if you're trying to make a dining reservation, a Fastpass reservation, if you're trying to pull up your plans, if you're trying to look at park hours, you know, some of that stuff, there is overlap in the functionality between the browser and the app. So have it in your head that that is an option in case your app will not open or if it crashes or whatever. And to also just know that you are not alone. A lot of us run into these issues, and I hope that Disney will finally get the app and the website more functional and stable in the future. So I think that'll wrap up this episode. For information on this show, please check the show notes in your podcast app or go to the website www.prepschool.com, click podcast at the top, and scroll down to episode 203. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.